So imagine one night you're at a party, a dinner party, with some Fox News channel executives. And someone tells a story about Republicans and Democrats. I'm sure just with me saying this in your mind, you can kind of guess who the good guy and the bad guy is and how the story is gonna go. Or if you're at a CNN party and someone talks about Republicans and Democrats. Or maybe a little less controversial this morning, at a Jaguars tailgate, they start talking about Jets fans and Jags fans. You know who the good guy and the bad guy. This afternoon, if you're at a Jets party and they're talking about Jags and the Jets, you know who the good guy and the bad guy are. When someone that you know is telling a story about the characters that you know, it's kind of easy for us to assume the characters and the role they're going to play. And we assume that we know how it's going to play out. Oftentimes, when we hear Jesus tell a parable, we kind of fall into that same kind of trap. Especially for us now 2,000 years beyond Jesus telling a story about the Pharisee, because in our minds, what we've learned, the Pharisees are the bad guys. They're always getting in trouble. Jesus is always having harsh words for them. They're always on the wrong side. And of course, the tax collector's on the wrong side. And so when Jesus begins this parable, I'm sure his listeners, and as soon as they heard Pharisee and tax collector, they knew what was going to happen. The Pharisee was going to win out over the tax collector. Because to the Jews, 2,000 years ago, the Pharisee was the good guy. Within the Jewish culture, there was a bunch of different sects, a bunch of groups that tried their best to live according to what they thought was the best way to be a good Jew. And the Pharisees were one of those groups. And they tried to separate themselves by how perfect they lived the law, how well they adhered to all 600 and whatever different laws they were. And they even tried to separate themselves to not be tainted by the others. But they were seen as the best example of what it means to be a perfect Jew. So when Jesus tells this story, and he twists it at the end, it shakes everything up. And usually when Jesus is telling a parable, almost always, there's a twist. And most of the time we miss it because we're used to hearing the stories and we're used to how they're being explained. We don't have that first person account. But the parables of Jesus aren't just cute little stories to help us make sense of things. Jesus told stories to shake people up. I mean, last week he told a parable so that people wouldn't grow weary, they wouldn't lose hope, they wouldn't lose faith. And today he tells this story about the people who were self-righteous, who were there assured of their salvation, and they look down on everyone else. So when we hear this story and we apply this to our own life, what does this mean for us? Who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy? How easy it is for us to get caught in the appearance of things. We live in a very superficial, very image-driven time, especially for those of us who spend any amount of time on social media. How quickly we get drawn into projecting the perfect image. And we have enough filters available to us that there's never going to be a flaw. Everything is exactly just right. And we train ourselves to judge other by appearances, and in turn, we assume that we're being judged by appearances as well, and we stay on that level. The Jews were judging the Pharisees by appearance. Jesus judged them by their heart. And there's no filter on any social media site that can change your heart, that make your heart look good or bad. We never know someone else's heart, someone else's intention, or their desires. And so when this man who had everything perfectly could say, "Thank God I'm not like that one," it's a trap we all fall into. When we see someone struggling with a sin that we don't struggle with, "Thank God I'm not like that." When we pass a homeless person, someone who's down on their luck, "Thank God I'm not like that. Thank God my marriage hasn't fallen apart. Thank God that I'm not on drugs or in jail. My kids are on drugs or in jail. Thank God all my kids continue to go to Mass." We put ourselves up on pedestals based upon these exterior things with no inclination whatsoever about what's going on in someone's heart. If Jesus had just left the story at that first introduction, we would all assume the Pharisee won, that he was the champion. But he lost. It was the tax collector, this great sinner, who was living in the midst of sin, meaning that he was in the pocket of the Romans, these occupying force who was trying to enslave the Jews once again. He was friends with them, and on top of that, he was stealing from his brother Jews by charging more taxes than he needed, so that he could get fat pockets. He really was the sinner. He really was the bad guy. But in some way, he was able to walk away justified. The Pharisee went into the temple proud, arrogant. He's prayed to himself, "Look how good I am. I've got it all. Lord, you want me to fast one day a year? I'm going to fast twice a week. You want me to tithe on my income? I'm going to tithe on all my possessions. Look how good I am. I'm so good, and I'm not even where close as bad as that one over there." That one over there couldn't even raise his eyes. He was beating his chest because he knew he was a sinner. The same way each one of us beat our chest at the beginning of Mass as we prayed the Confiteor. How did we come into the temple today? Where was our heart? What was the posture of your heart when you came in today? Were you proud, entitled, arrogant, so happy that God be so happy I'm here with you today? Aren't you lucky, God? Or did you come into the presence of the living God, the Creator, Jesus, who's here in the tabernacle? Did you come in and bow down, afraid to look up because you are aware of your unworthiness to be here? Because that's the posture it takes for each one of us to leave here justified. If we don't have that posture, we leave the same way we came in. The Pharisee asked God for nothing, and that's exactly what he got. Nothing. The tax collector asked for mercy, and he walked away justified. Because in this image-driven culture we live in, we think we have to earn ourselves. We have to become worthy. That we have to prove ourselves and become good enough. It's in the humility of our nothingness and our weakness to say, "I am nothing," that Jesus can fill us up and be sufficient for us. We fight and we struggle to be good enough in a world that's impossible to be good enough. It's not even a question on the application. Jesus wants to know how deeply you will know that you are in need of him. And not that we ever want to celebrate sin or encourage sin, but it's in our sin that we come most face to face with our weakness, with our emptiness, and our complete and total dependence on God for everything. That's the posture of a disciple. That when we come into the presence of God, we beg for mercy. So many of us, if we're honest, live, or at least try to live, like the Pharisee. We try to follow the rules. We try to do the right thing. We try to be as close to perfect as possible. That's how we try to live. But oftentimes we pray like him as well. We should live like the Pharisee. But we should pray like the tax collector. Completely, honestly, humbly, begging God for his mercy. Let us pray for that grace to be strong enough to admit that we're weak and that we're nothing and that we need him. Let us beat our chest. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. If we do this, then certainly we will walk away justified.